Today is the 9th day of May. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is great to be here with you today. It is wonderful to have a place to gather here around the global campfire. And it is beautiful, the reason that we have gathered today, which is to take the next step forward in our lives together. And to take the next step forward in the scriptures as we continue to navigate through our journey this year. So obviously we will be picking up where we left off, which is what we do every day. And that will lead us back into the book of 1 Samuel. Today, 1 Samuel 5, 6, and 7. Now the Philistines had captured the Ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. The Philistines took the Ark of God and brought it into the Temple of Dagon, where they positioned it beside Dagon. When the residents of Ashdod got up early the next day, Dagon was lying on the ground before the Ark of the Lord. So they took Dagon and set him back in his place. But when they got up early the following day, Dagon was again lying on the ground before the Ark of the Lord. The head of Dagon and his two hands were sheared off and were lying at the threshold. Only Dagon's body was left intact. For this reason, to this very day, neither Dagon's priests nor anyone else who enters Dagon's temple steps on Dagon's threshold in Ashdod. The Lord attacked the residents of Ashdod severely, bringing devastation on them. He struck the people of both Ashdod and the surrounding area with sores. When the people of Ashdod saw what was happening, they said, "The Ark of the God of Israel should not remain with us, for he has attacked both us and our God, Dagon." So they assembled all the leaders of the Philistines and asked, "What should we do with the Ark of the God of Israel?" They replied, "The Ark of the God of Israel should be moved to Gath." So they moved the Ark of the God of Israel. But after it had been moved, the Lord attacked that city as well, causing a great deal of panic. He struck all the people of that city with sores. So they sent the Ark of God to Ekron. But when the Ark of God arrived at Ekron, the residents of Ekron cried out, saying, "They have brought the Ark of the God of Israel here to kill our people." So they assembled all the leaders of the Philistines and said, "Get the Ark of the God of Israel out of here. Let it go back to its own place so that it won't kill us and our people." The terror of death was throughout the entire city. God was attacking them very severely there. The people who did not die were struck with sores. The city's cry for help went all the way up to heaven. When the Ark of the Lord had been in the land of the Philistines for 7 months, the Philistines called the priests and the omen readers, saying, "What should we do with the Ark of the Lord? Advise us as to how we should send it back to its place." They replied, "If you are going to send the Ark of the God of Israel back, don't send it away empty. Be sure to return it with a guilt offering, and you will be healed and you will understand why his hand has not been removed from you." They inquired, "What is the guilt offering that we should send to them?" They replied, "The Philistine leader's number 5. So send 5 gold sores and 5 gold mice, for it is the same plague that has afflicted both you and your leaders. You should make images of the sores and images of the mice that are destroying the land. You should honor the God of Israel. Perhaps he will release his grip on you, your gods, and your land. Why harden your hearts like the Egyptians and Pharaoh did? When God treated them harshly, didn't the Egyptians send the Israelites on their way? So now go and make a new cart. Get 2 cows that have calves and that have never had a yoke placed on them. Harness the cows to the cart and take their calves from them back to their stalls. Then take the Ark of the Lord and place it on the cart and put in a chest beside it the gold object you are sending to him as a guilt offering. You should then send it on its way, but keep an eye on it. If it should go up by the way of its own border to Beth Shemesh, then he has brought this great calamity on us. But if that is not the case, then we will know that it was not his hand that struck us. Rather, it just happened to us by accident. So the men did as instructed. They took two cows that had calves and harnessed the cows to a cart. They also removed their calves to their stalls. They put the Ark of the Lord on the cart, along with the chest, the gold mice, and the images of the sores. And the cows went directly on the road to Beth Shemesh. They went along that route, bellowing more and more. They turned neither to the right nor to the left. The leaders of the Philistines were walking along behind them all the way to the border of Beth Shemesh. Now the residents of Beth Shemesh were harvesting wheat in the valley. When they looked up and saw the ark, they were pleased at the sight. The cart was coming to the field of Joshua, who was from Beth Shemesh. It paused there near a big stone. Then they cut up the wood of the cart and offered the cows as a burnt offering to the Lord. The Levites took down the ark of the Lord and the chest that was with it, which contained the gold objects. They placed them near the big stone. At that time, the people of Beth Shemesh offered burnt offerings and made sacrifices to the Lord. The five leaders of the Philistines watched what was happening and then returned to Ekron on the same day. These are the gold sores that the Philistines brought as a guilt offering to the Lord. One for each of the following cities: Ashdod, Gaza, Ashkelon, Gath, and Ekron. The gold mice corresponded in number to all the Philistine cities of the five leaders, from the fortified cities to hamlet villages to Greater Ebal. They positioned the Ark of the Lord on a rock until this very day in the field of Joshua, who was from Beth Shemesh. But the Lord struck down some of the people of Beth Shemesh because they had looked into the Ark of the Lord. He struck down 50,070 of the men. The people grieved because the Lord had struck the people with a hard blow. The residents of Beth Shemesh asked, "Who is able to stand before the Lord, this holy God? To whom will the ark go up from here?" So they sent messengers to the residents of Kiriath Jearim, saying, "The Philistines have returned the ark of the Lord. Come down here and take it back home with you." Then the people of Kiriath Jearim came and took the Ark of the Lord. They brought it to the house of Abinadab, located on the hill. They consecrated Eleazar, his son, to guard the Ark of the Lord. It was quite a long time, some 20 years in all, that the Ark stayed at Kiriath Jearim. All the people of Israel longed for the Lord. Samuel said to all the people of Israel, "If you are really turning to the Lord with all your hearts, remove from among you the foreign gods and the images of Ashtoreth. Give your hearts to the Lord and serve only him. Then he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines." So the Israelites removed the Baals and images of Ashtoreth. They served only the Lord. And Samuel said, "Gather all to Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord on your behalf." After they had assembled at Mizpah, they drew water and poured it out before the Lord. They fasted on that day, and they confessed there, "We have sinned against the Lord." So Samuel led the people of Israel at Mizpah. When the Philistines heard that the Israelites had gathered at Mizpah, the leaders of the Philistines went up against Israel. When the Israelites heard about this, they were afraid of the Philistines. The Israelites said to Samuel, "Keep crying out to the Lord our God so that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines." So Samuel took a nursing lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. Samuel cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. As Samuel was offering burnt offerings, the Philistines approached to do battle with Israel. But on that day, the Lord thundered loudly against the Philistines. He caused them to panic, and they were defeated by Israel. Then the men of Israel left Mizpah and chased the Philistines, striking them down all the way to an area below Bet-Kar. Samuel took a stone and placed it between Mizpah and Shen. He named it Ebenezer, saying, "Up to here the Lord has helped us." So the Philistines were defeated. They did not invade Israel again. The hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. The cities that the Philistines had captured from Israel were returned to Israel, from Ekron to Gath. Israel also delivered their territory from the control of the Philistines. There was also peace between Israel and the Amorites. So Samuel led Israel all the days of his life. Year after year, he used to travel the circuit of Bethel, Gilgal, and Mizpah. He used to judge Israel in all these places. Then he would return to Ramah, because his home was there. He also judged Israel there and built an altar to the Lord there. John 6, 1 through 21. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd was following him because they were observing the miraculous signs he was performing on the sick. So Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Jewish feast of the Passover was near. Then Jesus, when he looked up and saw that a large crowd was coming to him, said to Philip, "Where can we buy bread so that these people may eat?" Now Jesus said this to test him, for he knew what he was going to do. Philip replied, 200 silver coins worth of bread would not be enough for them, for each one to get a little." One of Jesus' disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "Here is a boy who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good are these for so many people?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was a lot of grass in that place. So the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed the bread to those who were seated. He then did the same with the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were all satisfied, Jesus said to his disciples, "Gather up the broken pieces that are left over so that nothing is wasted." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with broken pieces from the 5 barley loaves left over by the people who had eaten. Now when the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus performed, they began to say to one another, "This is certainly the prophet who is come into the world." Then Jesus, because he knew they were going to come and seize him by force to make him king, withdrew again up the mountainside alone. And when evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, got into a boat, and started to cross the lake to Capernaum. It had already become dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. By now, a strong wind was blowing and the sea was getting rough. Then, when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they caught sight of Jesus walking on the lake, approaching the boat, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat came to the land where they had been heading. Psalm 106, 13 through 31. They quickly forgot what he had done. They did not wait for his instructions. In the wilderness, they had an insatiable craving for meat. They challenged God in the wastelands. He granted their request and struck them with a disease. In the camp, they resented Moses and Aaron, the Lord's holy priest. The earth opened up and swallowed Dathan. It engulfed the group led by Abiram. Fire burned their group. The flame scorched the wicked. They made an image of a calf at Horeb and worshipped a metal idol. They traded their majestic God for the image of an ox that eats grass. They rejected the God who delivered them, the one who performed great deeds in Egypt, amazing feats in the land of Ham, mighty acts by the Red Sea. He threatened to destroy them, but Moses, his chosen one, interceded with him and turned back his destructive anger. They rejected the fruitful land. They did not believe his promise. They grumbled in their tents. They did not obey the Lord. So he made a solemn vow that he would make them die in the wilderness, make their descendants die among the nations, and scatter them among foreign lands. They worshipped Baal of Peor and ate sacrifices offered to the dead. They made the Lord angry by their actions, and a plague broke out among them. Phinehas took a stand and intervened, and the plague subsided. This was credited to Phinehas as a righteous act for all generations to come. Proverbs 14, 32 through 33. An evil person will be thrown down through his wickedness, but a righteous person takes refuge in his integrity. Wisdom rests in the heart of the discerning. It is not known in the inner parts of fools. Okay, so we are well moved into the book of 1 Samuel at this point. And the story that we've been reading about the loss of the Ark of the Covenant and the return of the Ark of the Covenant, this actually seals the deal for Samuel. He becomes the singular leader, the last and final judge of Israel. And so let's, first of all, remember, we're still in the time of the judges. Yes, we've read the book of Judges. Yes, we read the book of Ruth, which was also from the times of the judges. Now we're in 1 Samuel, and we've come to the last judge of Israel, and we got to know him and how he came to grow up in the tabernacle, how he was raised up under Eli, the high priest. But then there was a war between Israel and the Philistines, and they took the Ark of the Covenant into battle, and the Ark of the Covenant was lost in battle, and Hophni and Phinehas, Eli's sons, were killed, and then Eli, the high priest, fell over and died, kind of leaving Samuel standing there going, what am I supposed to do now? Meanwhile, the Philistines are rejoicing about conquering Israel's God and having the Ark of Israel's God, and so they, of course, take it to the temple of Dagon and set it before him, and Dagon falls over a couple of times and gets smashed, and then plague breaks out among the Philistines, who determine that it's because of the Ark. It's the God of Israel. The God of Israel is fighting against them. And so they move it around to the different strongholds, the different Philistine strongholds. But plague keeps breaking out everywhere until all of the leaders get together and go, what are we going to do? And they determine that they need to send a guilt offering and send the Ark back to Israel. And so they put the Ark on an ox cart with some oxen, and determine basically if these cows go back to Israel, they just go back, then we know this was the God of Israel who did this to us. And that's what happens. The cows go back to Israel. They go back to a place called Beth Shemesh, a place that exists until this day, both in modern and archaeological perspectives. There's some amazing archaeology happening in Beth Shemesh. This is down in the lowlands called the Shephelah, the lowlands, the fertile lowlands. And you can stand there until this very day and kind of look out over those fields and just imagine the ox cart with the oxen pulling the Ark of the Covenant back to Beth Shemesh. But it doesn't go so well there either. People decide they're going to look inside the ark, and a lot of people die, and so it gets moved again. And we can look at it and go, this is kind of an erratic thing, erratic story. And that's when we remember we're in the times of the judges, where there is no king in Israel, and everyone is doing what is right in their own eyes. So the ark gets moved to Kiriath Jearim, and 20 years goes by. And that's the thing. That time goes by in like a sentence. In fact, I quote, it was quite a long time, some 20 years in all, that the ark stayed at Kiriath Jearim. All the people of Israel longed for the Lord. Samuel said to all the people of Israel, this is where he steps into this and leads the people back to God. If you are really turning to the Lord with all your hearts, remove from among you the foreign gods and the images of Ashtoreth. Give your hearts to the Lord and serve only him. Then he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. And that is what happens. The people return to God under a prophetic voice who is now leading them forward. And we will watch as he continues to lead the children of Israel forward, as we continue to move forward in the coming days. So, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all of the stories of our spiritual ancestors, all of these people who played a role in your story, and this was preserved, and it is here for us to teach, instruct, guide, correct, rebuke, comfort, and it does all of these things. And we ask your Holy Spirit to plant what we've read today and each day in the soil of our hearts, that it may bring about a harvest of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, that we may display the fruit of the Spirit to the world, revealing who you are. Come, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base, and that is where to get connected and plugged in and find out what's going on around here. And so certainly do that. Check out things like the Daily Audio Bible shop. There are resources there that have been placed there for the journey that we are on to take it wider and deeper. And so there are resources there in a number of categories. Check out the Daily Audio Bible shop. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you, humbly. We are in this because we are in this together, and we show up every day for each other. And thank you, humbly, for your partnership so that we do show up every day for each other. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That's the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you, and I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hey, my dad family, this is your servant from Junk to Treasure, and I need your prayers for my son and my family. On Thursday, April 27th, my daughter-in-law Brittany was on her way home from work. She had called my son to let him know she was coming, and he was out in the backyard working. And they lived just 6 houses off of the state road that she was traveling on. She had stopped on the highway and waiting for cross traffic to turn on her road. And a guy was on his cell phone and didn't see her, didn't even try to stop. And he struck her from behind. My son heard this and went running down there to discover his wife's car mangled. They took her to the emergency room, but they could not save her life, and they did an emergency C-section because she was 6 months pregnant. The baby suffered from trauma and, of course, being too premature, and they couldn't save my youngest granddaughter's life either. And the funeral will be held on my oldest granddaughter's birthday, May 3rd, which is my son's oldest daughter from a previous marriage. So the whole situation is an extra horrific thing to deal with. And I am knocked down. I am bloodied. I'm bruising. I'm broken. And I need you to pray for me so I can stand back up and come back and pray for all of you. So if you will please cover me in prayer and my family, I would greatly appreciate it. Thank you so much, Adab community.
Family, it's Meredith in New Brunswick, and I'm just calling in. My phone has decided to freeze on me, so I'm guessing I'm just taking a leap of faith. I heard a lady call in on the prayer request for today, May the 2nd, and she sounded just really distraught and ready to give up. And I just wanted to tell you, you're heard and you're known, because I'm pretty sure it's Jane Ruth from Nebraska. And I feel like the Lord was telling me that Satan is after you, and he's telling you nobody cares, that nobody will recognize you, that nobody misses you. And I wanted to tell you that that's a lie. I knew who you were, I recognized your voice, and I heard your pain. And I want you to know that this is just an attack. It's just a season. And there is victory at the end, because God's word tells us that we are more than conquerors through Christ. And he is for you. He is not against you. And you do have friends. You have all of us in the DAB. And I know that there's distance and there's not a physical relationship. But sometimes we go through these seasons to grow, and we don't exactly know what we're growing from or into. But Jane Ruth, you are loved. You are worthy. You are a vital part of this community. You truly, truly are. I can remember back last fall when you called in and you shared your whole testimony. I think it took 3 or 4 calls. It was powerful. It was absolutely, positively life-changing. And we all heard it, and we were all so much better for it. So don't you let the enemy win. Understand, we know who you are, Jane Ruth. We love you, and we are praying for you. God bless you. We love you, Jane Ruth. Bye.
Hello, DAB family. This is Diana from Florida, and I want to pray for the 65-year-old woman whose request was aired on the May 2nd podcast. Dear Jesus, listen to the outcry of this woman. Lord, she doesn't know what to pray for anymore. She is at her wit's end. She doesn't know where to turn. She doesn't have any friends. She doesn't have anybody she can trust. She has entrusted into this community to pray. Father God, I cry out to you, Jesus, for her life. I cry out to you, Jesus, for her heart. I pray, O Lord God, that whatever the problems that she's going through, the difficulties that she's having, Father God, that you would meet her in her point of need right now. And in the name of Jesus, you would provide solutions one at a time. I pray that you would help her to slowly detangle her mess, whatever that is. Lord God, you know what it is. Holy Spirit, I pray in this moment that you would intercede for her behalf, and that you, O Holy Spirit, will come and bring to her remembrance scripture that would encourage her, Lord God, that you will not leave her nor forsake her, that you are faithful even when she is not faithful, that she could look up at the hills and cry out, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and of earth. That she would cling to the Psalms and hear David's heart as he was being persecuted and felt also like he had no other recourse. Father God, help her to cling to you in this season for solutions.
Today's May the 3rd. I am responding to a prayer by a lady who called in saying she can't do it on her own anymore. She didn't say her name. My name's Deborah. I'm calling from Spain. I've been on my own most of my life. I have two children plus a grandson, and I've brought them all up alone. I have ADHD and I've suffered depression for my whole life. But God is faithful. And when we start to praise him, when we really, really, truly trust him and really, you know, put him above everything else, he answers us and he is faithful and he is true. And I know it's a difficult time you're going through. And I know you say you've been helping people, and it is costly to help people. I always help people as much as I can. And it costs. It costs. And you don't often see any fruit. But, you know, we have to obey the word of God. And through your depression, through your misery, you can still obey God, but you can lift him up, you can bless him, you can praise him, even though you don't feel like it. Get into the Psalms, read them out loud. Say, in spite of how I feel, Lord, I'm going to praise you. And I can honestly say that when we praise God, he lifts us up. There's power in praise. Okay, so don't feel that you are alone. You're not alone. I'm alone, but God, I actually isolated myself for 3 years, and God literally physically pulled me out of my own isolation, and he's put me back amongst people, which I really didn't like because I was becoming too isolated. But now God is blessing it, and he will do miracles in your life. Just trust him. Okay, God bless.
Hi, Daily Audio Bible. This is Kim calling from Texas. It's Wednesday, and I am in need of major prayer again. I have been dealing with physical things nonstop since last July when I caught COVID and then ended up in the hospital after that with a diverticulitis attack, and I have been dealing with things since, and I have not slept through the night in months. They think that I have obstructive sleep apnea, and every time I lay down, I simply stop breathing, and it causes panic attacks and high blood pressure, and I have young kids, and I've been in the hospital constantly over the last 2 weeks by ambulance sometimes, and it's been very tormenting to not be able to sleep because I feel like I'm battling fear and death every night. And I'm looking to Jesus as my healer. I'm praying he will preserve my life so that I can be here for my family and finish what he called me to do. And I would appreciate prayers of faith for me. This has been crazy and very discouraging. So please pray, because I want to be here for my kids. Thank you.
Hey, DAB family. This is your sister, Ashley, from California. And my son, Jackson, is in the car with me. And we are on our way to start phase 4, which is called delayed intensification. And what our oncologist said is it is intense. So we are on our way to get this phase started, and I just want to say thank you, DAB family, for praying for us, for helping us continue to keep our eyes on Jesus and help us through this process. And we just want to pray for all of our brothers and sisters out there that are going through cancer treatment, like Lisa, Philippians 4:6, or the sweet lady who called in today about her son that is in the Czech Republic and has the meninges tumor, and all the families that are also going through the treatment for kiddos who have the acute lymphoblastic leukemia or any types of leukemia. we just want to lift you guys up, and we want to pray. We want to pray that you guys, like Lisa, Philippians 4:6 said, to see those good things, because we may not be grateful for the situation. Because let's be honest, having a cancer diagnosis sucks, no matter what stage it's at. But we can be grateful in it, and we just want to lift you guys up, and we just want our calling to request prayer as well. We love you, DAB family. Bye.